Well, good evening, everybody. How are we doing? We're all good, or a bit comatose from all the Christmas pud still? I hope you've had a wonderful Christmas. I've had a very big Christmas. We had a family wedding 4 days before Christmas, which is absolutely lovely to see my niece get married. And we've had a lot of family come into town, and we had about 40 people for Christmas Day. So it's been pretty big. I had a 3-hour nap yesterday just to recover. But I'm looking forward to sharing the last message for 2019. Can you believe it? We're about to enter into 2020, and I'm excited. Who's ready to see 2019 pass? Yep. Isn't that funny? I think I ask this question every year, and everyone's like, yep, ready to see it go. I think every year has its good things, the things that we can be thankful for, and of course it has the challenging things, the things that we grow through. And so I'm really excited to share this message with you tonight, because I've said this before in other years, this is the time, I think this period of time right now from Christmas to New Year is a very special time where we get to reflect. You know, we're all slowing down a bit. Most of us probably are on having a bit of an annual break. And we get to think about the year that has just been, and we start to think about, okay, what do we want for 2020? So I always say that this particular period of time is very special. One thing I think we can all concur is that we hope the following year is going to be a good year, don't we? That's our expectation. That's what we prayed for just a little earlier on. I mean, we say it in Christmas cards. I'm sure you've received many Christmas cards, and it says, wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. It doesn't say, and a lousy New Year. That would be awful if we received a card like that. No, we want the year to be a Happy New Year. In other words, a good year. Things that will take place that will be good. But you know what? I think it kind of depends on how we launch into the new year and what we are going to take into 2020. And so I want to ask you the question tonight, what are you taking into 2020? And is what you're taking good? Or is it somewhat needs to be left behind in 2019? Is there some things that are not so good that you actually need to let go of and not take it with you into 2020? I think sometimes we need to get to a point where we say, enough is enough. I am not taking that into a new year. Do you agree with me? There's a lot of things in life we can't control, and none of us can control what's going to take place into 2020. We don't know what lies ahead for us. But the some things we can control is the things that we think about and the way we respond to situations and circumstances. They're things that we can control. And so tonight, I want to share a message that the Lord gave me actually 7 years ago. It was the first message I ever preached here at Bayside Church. And He laid it upon my heart to preach it again here tonight, but I have refreshed it. And what I wanted us to do tonight is to catch some foxes. You're probably thinking, what? And I want to declare right now, hunting season is open. It is open. Open. Now, before I lose all the vegans and the animal activists in this place, am I talking about literal foxes? No, it's a metaphor, okay? And we're going to read about all that in a moment. I'm not talking about literal foxes, but we are going to catch some. We're going to catch some things, some little things in our life that tend to ruin and spoil things. Do you want more peace? Do you want more joy and love in your life? Well, it may mean we're going to have to catch a fox or two. So I'm going to warn you right now that this message may get a little messy. It may get messy because this is not a moment where where we're going to blame the person next to us or blame situations and circumstances. No, we're going to look at ourselves. We're going to take some personal responsibility. We're not going to make excuses. Because at the end of the day, it's up to us what we take into 2020. And my desire is that 2020 be a fruitful year, a good year. I believe that's what we prayed for tonight, yeah? And my hope is that we will see things that we never even imagined in 2020, that we will be more Christ-like in 2020 than we are right now. And so right now, I don't want you to nudge your spouse, go, this is for you, or your friend and say, that's for you. No, 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 this is for me and this is for you. This is for ourselves. This is where we need to look at ourselves and say, what has to go? Where have I been a little asleep, a little bit unaware to foxes in my vineyard? And what am I prepared to let go of? So what's all this talk about foxes? Well, let's read about it. I want you to open up Song of Solomon, chapter 2. This is a love song. It starts in verse 8. Listen, my love is approaching. Look, here he comes, leaping over the mountains, bounding over the hills. My love is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, he's standing behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. My love calls to me. Arise, my darling, come away, my beautiful one, for now the winter is past and rain has ended and gone away. The blossoms appear in the countryside. The time of singing has come and the turtle dove's cooing is heard in our land. The fig tree ripens its figs. The blossoming vine gives off their fragrance. Arise, my darling, come away, my beautiful one. My dove in the clefts of the rock, in the crevices of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. And here's the scripture I want you to hear. Catch the foxes for us. The little foxes that ruin the vineyards, for our vineyards are in bloom. The Jubilee Bible translation says, hunt the foxes for us. Now, you would have picked up this is a poetic love song. It's using language that's quite different to other books in the Bible. This is the love song between a lover and his beloved. And their love is in full bloom. They are so in love. And I promise, I'll keep this PG. It's about to bear fruit. Who remembers being in love? Who's been in love and all the magical feelings that go with that? It's intoxicating. It's beautiful. It's magical. You can't wait to spend time with the person that you're in love with. Everything seems wonderful. Everything seems rose-coloured glasses. But I love the fact that even with the rose-coloured glasses, the woman, and yes, it's the woman, gives a warning to her lover. She says, we need to catch the little things that may ruin our love. The little things that right now don't seem that annoying. The little things that you can overlook. She's saying, no, we need to look at the little things that may spoil our love, which has of great value. She's expressing that we need to be aware of little things in our lives. Now, this truth is really key, that little things spoil things of great value. It's not just for romantic love. It's for any part of our life that we see value in. Our friendships, our church community, our health, anything that we place value on. It's little things that can actually destroy it. And so we need to be able to rein in those little things that don't help it to grow in a healthy way. So we're going to unpack that thought tonight. And it starts with knowing your enemy. When I became a Christian, I was in another church, and the preacher that was there often, most sermons, would preach about the enemy. He would often talk about the enemy's ways, the enemy's tactics. And it was good because it really enabled me to understand spiritual warfare and the way the enemy works. But one of the things I did also notice is that the people that I often was around would often blame the enemy for everything. Now, I'm not a fan of blaming the enemy for everything because we don't take personal responsibility for the things that we have ownership for. And sometimes we give him way too much credit. So it's easy to blame and say, oh, the enemy made me do it, or the devil made me do it. However, in saying that, I don't think we should be naive and think we don't have an enemy. We do. We very much do. And we are spiritual beings. unlike what Madonna thinks, we do not just live in a material world. We also live in a spiritual world with spiritual beings. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." In other words, if you see it, it's not your true enemy. Okay, let that sink. If you see it, it's not your true enemy. The Bible's very clear from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from Genesis to Revelation, that there is an enemy that Christ came to destroy the works of. And that enemy's plan is to rob, steal, kill, and destroy everything that is made by God. Everything that bears the image of God and everything that reflects his character and nature. So we don't pretend that he doesn't exist. He truly does. And we are his enemy. The Bible is also full of warnings describing how the enemy works. He's described like a serpent. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, it says, "But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." The devil is a deceiver. All he needs to do is twist the truth oh so little, oh so very little, to make you believe that. And the fact is, if you believe that, it's no longer truth. No matter how little he stretches it. That's what he did to Eve, and that's what he will do with us. He's also described as a roaring lion. In 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." He waits. He waits for when we're most vulnerable for him to attack. Have you ever watched one of those David Attenborough documentaries in nature? And they're stunning to watch. And you have a show on the lion, and the lion prowls, and maybe he's looking on of a herd of impala or whatever it might be, and he just waits. He just waits for that little one to stray from the pack. And he waits for them to be isolated, and then he pounces. The enemy looks for when we're most vulnerable and most isolated to attack. He's also described as a fox. Now, you might think he's like a cute fairy number like this on the screen. Aw, he's cute. And he is cute. But don't be fooled by his cuteness, okay? Because they wreak havoc for farmers. Absolute havoc. So what does a fox do? Well, the fox hunts at night when we're asleep. In other words, when we're not alert or awake, that's when he hunts. And he comes in and he does his business. He hunts the things that you might be, you know, if you've got chickens, that's what he'll hunt for. We need to search out the foxes. And the fact of the matter is that we all have foxes in our backyard. I do. I live in Bayside. We have foxes in the Bayside area. Have you noticed them? See, my house doesn't have a gate, and so anything just can wander on in. And often I'll walk out one morning, and my sister can attest to this, and there's all this poop in the back. And I don't have a dog. And it looked like fox poop. And that's what foxes do. They leave their poop around. So we need to catch them. There are two types of foxes we need to catch. The first fox is little thoughts. Everything starts with a thought. Everything. The fact that you're here tonight started with a thought. Somewhere along today, you had a thought, oh, I might go to church. Maybe outside of you said, no, I don't want to go to church. No, yeah, I will go to church. I'm going to go to church because I want to see the new year in. Whatever your thought process was today, you're here and that started with a thought. We have, can you believe, experts say that we have conservatively between 50,000 to 80,000 thoughts a day. That's crazy. That is literally crazy to think we have that many thoughts. So I calculated that's over 2,000 thoughts to over 3,000 thoughts an hour. I didn't even know I thought that much. I think I'm more on the 2,000 spectrum. I think Pastor Christie's more on the 3,000 spectrum. Yes, you would agree with me. So we have huge range of thoughts in a day, all sorts of things that we're thinking about. But there are some thoughts, if left unchecked, they start to develop a bit of an argument, a bit of a pretension in your head. And maybe we're coming into agreement with that. And maybe they're contrary to what God thinks. That's what we need to be concerned about. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, it kind of scares me to think that we have to take captive over 2,000 thoughts. So I think there's some thoughts we can probably let go, like, you know, I might need to go to the bathroom. I think we can let that go. But there are some thoughts we actually need to really pay attention and bring into the captivity of Christ. So how do we do that? The scripture tells us we need to demolish them. Now, think about the word demolish. It kind of sounds nice, doesn't it? No, that wasn't a trick question. It doesn't sound nice. It sounds fierce. So I want us all to channel our inner lumberjack, like this picture that I'm showing you, right? Demolishing takes some fierceness. We're not having high tea and going, there, that's a nice thought. You might have to go now. No. We're chopping it down. We're demolishing thoughts and pretensions that are against God, against the character of God, and against what God desires for us. You want to know what your measuring stick for that is? How do we measure what stays and what goes? Well, Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. These are the things that we should be thinking about, things that are praiseworthy and honourable and true and lovely. The problem is when we entertain things that are not and we don't bring them into the captivity of Christ, the little things no longer becomes a little thing. And when we don't, we become vulnerable to attack. If we lack self-control and discipline in bringing those things into the captivity of Christ. Proverbs 25:8 says, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. So if we don't develop the discipline of capturing thoughts that are contrary to God and God's word, then we lack self-control and we become vulnerable. Every thought that we have has a pathway. So we need to think about what pathway is our thought life taking us on? And where is it going to take us in 2020? And are we willing to channel that inner lumberjack and demolish some thoughts and get rid of some thoughts and replace them with God's word? The next fox that we're going to deal with is little attitudes. Oh, this is a doozy. Attitudes. Our thoughts lead to attitudes. They're all interlinked. Our thoughts ultimately lead us to attitudes and actions. So your attitude comes from the way you think. And the thing about attitudes is that they're contagious. You know what it's like when you're around someone with a great attitude? They're amazing, they're positive, they build up, they encourage. Even when stuff happens, they still have this amazing attitude. And you feel what? You feel great around them. You want to hang around that. Now, in contrary to that, is someone with a stinking attitude, a negative attitude. And you know how you feel around that. Someone who may be critical and sees everything with a negative light and pulls down and discourages, and you feel heavy and weighed down by that. The problem with attitudes is they rub off. Good or bad, they rub off. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Why? Because attitudes are contagious. And it only takes a little bit of a bad attitude to rub off on someone else and to corrupt what essentially is good. Galatians 5:9 says, a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. So it only takes a little bit to affect everything. Now, I want to preface this by saying we all need safe places to vent. You know, we have bad days. You want to let off steam and, you know, you might not have the best attitude that goes with it, but we need safe places where we can vent and talk to people. I don't disagree with that. But I want to ask you, the people that you do that with, do you give them permission to correct your attitude, to bring truth and light into your situation? Or are you simply looking for someone to agree with you? Because attitudes, they develop by our permission and the permission of others if not challenged. So I want you to think about that. Is the attitude that you have and the people that you share it with, do they have the permission to lovingly and gently correct you? I love the Bible for its honesty. It doesn't leave kind of anything out in terms of stories and people's character and development. And, you know, you see people, godly people, go through some stuff, and no matter what the stuff is, they still had a great attitude and it took them into their future. I'm thinking about people like Joseph, Ruth, David, Mary, being Jesus' mother. Amazing people that faced life and faced circumstances and yet had amazing attitude. And their future was secure in terms of what they experienced. And then you see other people, godly people, who unfortunately, because of circumstances in life and stuff, didn't have a great attitude. And because of that, their future was cut short. I'm talking about people like Cain, who killed his own brother. We've got Saul, who was the king of Israel. And because he wouldn't be corrected or humbled himself, his future was cut short. And then there's Absalom, the brother of Amon, the son of David. Because he wanted justice and ultimately revenge, that cut his future short. People who were godly, but their bad attitude shortcut what their future could have been. The moment we don't correct little thoughts and little attitudes, they actually become not just little acts. They become little acts that have big impact. And at the end of the day, our out-of-control thoughts and attitudes have an impact on ourselves and those around us. If we don't nip them in the bud, they ultimately become acts of the flesh. Acts of the flesh that we sow. And Galatians 5 talks about what those acts of the flesh actually look like. It lists them. In verse 19, it says it's sexual immorality and impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. And it warns us, I warn you as I did before that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Romans 1 kind of adds to the list and adds people who cause strife and gossip, who are slanderers and arrogant and boastful. None of this builds the kingdom of God. None of this. We actually become tear downers of the kingdom of God, not builder-upperers of the kingdom of God. And so we have to be mindful. We have to check ourselves. Am I building the kingdom of God or am I tearing it down? And who do you want to be? Well, I think because you're here tonight, you want to be a builder of the kingdom of God. So what must we do? We need to hunt the little foxes down. It's time for us to be real. It's time to get real and to stop making excuses and to just check ourselves in where we're at and to take responsibility for our thought life and our attitudes. You might say, well, you don't know what I've been through, and I have to concur, I don't. But all I can say is don't let anything rob you of what God intends for you. Being honest is just taking that moment to really think about, okay, where is my thought life at? And am I willing to be humble? I just had this experience on the weekend. I had a thought and I'll share it with you. I was comparing myself to someone else. And in comparing myself to someone else, I thought, well, I have to be better. And I stopped myself in the middle of that and I went, hang on, better. If I continue with that train of thought, it was going to lead me down a train of jealousy, envy, and ultimately pride. Just by simply comparing myself to someone else. That's where a little thought, if not reined in, can create havoc. So it's confessing that and humbling ourselves and confessing that before God. And so we need to repent. It simply means turning away from that thought, bringing it before God, asking his forgiveness and asking for his help to be able to do that. And that's the second point. We get help. I believe confession is powerful. Yes, we are to confess before God. It says to confess our sins, and God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But I also believe confession to someone else is powerful. Because when we do this, we keep ourselves accountable to others. Because I believe in a community, we need to heal together. We need to be able to be vulnerable with each other and say, hey, I'm struggling with this thought. Can you just pray with me? Can you just help me to stand in truth of what God's word says? Which is what the last point is. We need to dive into God's word and know his word. Know the scriptures of what God's word says and to stand on that. To replace that thought and that attitude with what God says. I'm totally believing that 2020 is going to be an amazing year. The best is yet to come. We agreement with that. But let's make sure we're not taking anything that is not what God wants us to take into 2020. Tonight, let's do some business. Let's say enough is enough. Let's draw a line in the sand. And if you're struggling with maybe a thought or an attitude and you're tired of it, you're ready, I want to challenge you tonight to do some business with God, to come to the front and say, yep, I'm ready. I'm ready to channel my inner lumberjack and bring this thing down. I'm not going to take it into 2020 because enough is enough. And I want to pray for you. So be bold if there's any area in your life right now. Can I encourage you? We all do. I'd be surprised if none of us have one thought that we don't struggle with. Well, Lord, we're getting ourselves ready. We're getting ourselves ready for 2020 and all that you have designed and purposed for us. And Lord, we want to see your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. And so, Lord God, right now we humble ourselves. We humble ourselves before you and we say, Lord, we ask your forgiveness. In the things that we've been thinking about that maybe we've been pondering over and we haven't brought before you, but we're choosing to bring them before you right now. Thoughts and attitudes and maybe actions that are against what you are about. The fruit of your spirit being joy, love, peace, gentleness, the things that are contrary to who you are. Lord God, we bring it right now before you and we say those things have to go. In Jesus' name, there is no place. There is no place, Lord God. There is no place for comparison. There is no place for offense. There is no place for bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, Lord God. Whatever it may be for you, you can say it before God what that thing is. We're saying we're not giving you any room in 2020. We are laying you down and cutting you off in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. And we, Father God, we just ask right now by your Spirit, because we have chosen to stand up and to humble ourselves, I thank you that you enable us, Lord God, by your Spirit, that, Lord God, we can stand strong, because even when we're weak, you are strong in us. And Lord God, I pray that even for the people that are standing here, Lord God, that they will be feeling lighter. They will be feeling lighter because of what they've done right now, Lord God. Not carrying a heavy load. Father God, I thank you because joy, love, peace, all the things of the Spirit, they are good. And the things that are contrary are not. And so, Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for this line in the sand that's taken place right now, for the courage and the boldness to confess this before you. And Lord, I bless everyone here tonight, everybody, Lord God, that 2020 may be an incredible year, Father God, where we walk into all the plans and purposes that you have for us, Lord God, individually and corporately as a community, Lord God. Bless everyone in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.